The Lord be with you.
And with your
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven will be great." The Gospel of the Lord. We believe as Catholics that every marriage takes place under the watchful eye of God's providence, who, without eliminating our personal freedom, arranges circumstances so that a particular man and a particular woman, whom he has created in light of each other, may meet, get to know each other, fall in love, and begin a deeper cooperation in his creative and redemptive plan. While God is always involved, however, very rarely is the one whom Catholics call the Vicar of Christ on earth a central protagonist in the story. But that's the case in the love story we celebrate today between Michael and Nicole. When Pope Benedict XVI was coming to New York City in 2008, the Archdiocese of Boston received 3,000 tickets to the Mass and organized a huge pilgrimage to the Bronx. Nicole was asked to serve as a captain of one of the 60 buses, and Michael was not only won a lottery for one of the tickets, but also luckily ended up on Nicole's bus. Michael once told me that Nicole would make a great Catholic drill sergeant, and a most beautiful one at that. And Nicole's discipline and allure were on display that April day, 2,368 days ago. While Nicole says she was so busy with the various details of that day that she really didn't notice Michael at all beyond checking in his name, Michael says he couldn't keep his eyes off of the bus captain. He asked her out after the pilgrimage, and they shared a couple of dates and some wonderful conversations about faith and family. But Nicole soon moved back to Florida, and they stayed in touch only lightly during the next 5 years. But God's plans wouldn't be frustrated by state boundaries. After Nicole moved back to Boston, she and Michael reconnected over business, never imagining what God's business would be for them, that God wanted them to begin a pilgrimage of life together, not to the Bronx and to the house that Ruth built, but to the celestial Jerusalem and the house of the Father. And we're also grateful to God that his plans would be for us, as Michael's and Nicole's family and friends, to spur them on and occasionally join them on that ride. Marriage is an adventure that takes every couple on quite a journey. A husband and a wife commit to accompany each other on sunny and stormy days, up mountains and into valleys, in horse-drawn carriages and ambulances, on straight paths and occasional detours, all the days of their life. But in Christ's plans, it's a journey that they never walk alone. Today, as Michael and Nicole make their solemn covenantal promises to each other and to God, God makes a covenant with them to be with them in good times and bad, in sickness and in health, in poverty and prosperity all the way. As Christ joins them to each other by a special sacrament, a sacrament that lasts for as long as both of them are alive, he also seeks to make them a sacrament, an efficacious sign of the love that he and his bride, the Church, have for each other. St. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, called all husbands to love their wives just as Christ loved his bride, the church, laying down his life to make her holy. Jesus desires that if somebody wants to glimpse the love he has for us, that all someone will need to do is point to you, Michael, and the love you have for Nicole. I was very pleased that in our time in marriage preparation, you told me in one of the 12 essays I had, you can teach them, right? I cannot wait to lay down my life for Nicole. As we saw in the Old Testament reading, you chose for this nuptial mass. A good wife is a generous gift in the choices of blessings, and that the husband of such a bride who inspires him to sacrifice out of love for her is indeed blessed, as you readily and publicly admit you are, Michael. Likewise, Nicole, your love for Michael is meant to be an image of the faithful, indissoluble, fruitful love the church has for Christ. Sirach says that a wife's radiant love in the home should be like the sun's rising in the heavens. And he means not just the home the two of you will make together, but also the home of the church. This is a very, 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 very high standard. It's not meant to remain at the level of poetic aspiration. Christ, who calls you to love each other as he has loved you first, intends to give you the help you need through the sacrament you receive today to live up to that standard. This sacrament, like every sacrament, isn't just a religious ritual, but it's an encounter with the Lord Jesus that seeks to deliver what it points to. Today, Jesus wants to do what St. Paul described to the Colossians in the second reading you selected. He wants to place within you, as his holy and beloved chosen ones, heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. He wants to help you to bear with one another and forgive each other. He wants to let his peace control your hearts. He wants to fill you both with thanksgiving, to let his holy word dwell richly within you, to place in you his love as your bond of perfection, so that whatever you do in word or in deed, you will do in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Jesus essentially wants to fill you with himself. He wants to fill you with his virtues. He wants to fill you with his love from the inside, so that you may help each other become more and more like him, so that your marriage will become ever more a sign in the world of his love. I rejoice that you're already recognizing each other, a deep cooperation with this desire of the Lord, and already see how Jesus has been using each other up until now to help you grow in imitation of Christ, who is about to join you. You pray together each night on the phone. You're constantly trying to listen together to what God wants of you as a couple. You attend Mass together weekly, and you accompany each other to confession monthly, because you take seriously the words we sang in today's responsorial psalm, that merciful and gracious is the Lord, slow to anger and abounding in kindness. And you regularly take each other to receive that forgiveness and that kindness so that you can share it with each other. During our get-togethers, Nicole, you described that one of the things you love most about Michael is that he strives after these virtues of Christ. I love all of Michael, you told me. I love his heart for God. I love his servant spirit. I love his patience and devotion to his family. I love his compassion for others. I love his generous spirit. I love his understanding nature. You can see how she writes children's books, always with short little declarative sentences. I love the dedication he has for those he loves. I love his depth of character. Michael is gentle and a gentleman. He lets me be myself, is kind to me, supports me, and is thoughtful. His patient, calming, easygoing nature is very often a good complement to my more hyper, energetic, filled ways. Michael's consistent, calm, and kind insistence to pray together every night has allowed me to get on a more regimented schedule of being with God in prayer, trusting in God more in general, and loving others better. You, Michael, told me about how Nicole's desire to love God and to love like God was one of the things that attracted you her most. First and foremost, you told me, she believes in and follows Jesus. You put an exclamation point on that. I also love her virtues, her pursuit to follow God's will, her tender and caring heart, her honesty, her desire to grow in faith. I knew she was the right one because my love for Nicole didn't stem from mere fun experiences, but out of admiration for who she is in Christ. I love her heart. She's one of the most caring individuals I've ever met. I love her sensitivity, her patience, her prudence. I love her positive reinforcement in my life and her ability to adapt and grow during difficult trials. There's not enough room to express all I love about her. But I would say that I love that Nicole listens to her heart and to the Holy Spirit, and that she allows herself to be guided by Him always. Not only is she my best friend, she's my mirror. She has helped me better understand myself in the light of Christ. She has a very graceful way of teaching me how to live up to Christ's virtue. The purpose of the sacrament of marriage you enter in today is heaven. In the traditional language of the church, it's for the mutual sanctification of the spouses and for the procreation and education, God willing, of children. It's to be a school of sanctity in which you help each other through good times and in bad become Saint Michael and Saint Nicole, to raise a family of saints. That's why I'm so pleased you chose for the gospel of your wedding Jesus' words about the way to holiness, happiness in heaven. We call the Beatitudes. Whereas the world thinks that you have to be rich to be happy, Jesus says you need to be poor in spirit and treasure the kingdom of God more than all the mammon in the world. Trust in what Jesus says. Whereas the world says you need to be strong to be happy, to finish fights others start, Jesus says you have to be meek, to be merciful, to be not just a peace wisher, but a peacemaker. Trust in Jesus. Whereas the world says that to be happy you have to have all your sexual fantasies fulfilled, Jesus says rather you need to be pure in heart. And what a great testimony it is that you prepared for marriage with chaste purity of heart. It's a sign that it's possible today in 2014. Continue to trust in Jesus. Whereas the world says that you need to laugh and be the life of the party, to be voted most popular in your senior class and Miss Congeniality, Jesus says that you have to be so sensitive to others' pain and sufferings that you mourn, and so faithful to Him that you're willing to be persecuted and calumniated just on His account. Trust in Jesus. While the world says that you'll be happy only when you have all your material desires fulfilled, Jesus says that you'll only be happy when you're starving and parched to be right with God, to be holy. There couldn't be a larger contrast between what the world says leads to happiness and what Jesus says does than what you've chosen. And Jesus today wants to give you the help to choose that path. The Beatitudes began Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. But Jesus concluded that sermon by saying that we have a choice to make, to build the rock of our life either on His Word, hearing what He says and acting on it, or building our house on sand. Build your life together on that rock of Christ and His holy teaching, so that your married life will be able to remain strong no matter all the storms of life. One person who will help you to do this is the Blessed Virgin Mary, who's interceding for you right now, just like she did for that young couple in Galilee before you or they even knew or know what you need. It was very moving that at the beginning of this ceremony you wished to give a public witness to your devotion to the Blessed Mother by having the flower girls come up and place flowers next to her statue, the statue of Our Lady from your home. Today on October 13th, we mark the 97th anniversary of Mary's last appearance to the children in Fatima, where she identified herself as Our Lady of the Rosary and asked Lucia Francisco y Jacinta to pray the rosary continuously each day. As St. John Paul II insisted, the rosary is and always has been a prayer of and for the family. And quoting Father Patrick Peyton, who's buried here in Massachusetts, he said, "The family that prays together stays together." And the great prayer of the family is the rosary. In weddings in Mexico, I love the tradition where after the couple exchanges consent, they are wrapped in this huge set of rosary beads, to symbolize that they are now chained to each other in love with the help of Our Lady. Bind yourselves today in a commitment to enter Mary's School of the Rosary each day so that you can contemplate with her and each other the blessed fruit of her womb who will make you holy. Your love for the Blessed Virgin Mary was shown in your proposal, Michael. On the vigil of Gaudete Sunday, that Sunday in Advent in which the whole church rejoices, last December, where together you went to the shrine of Our Lady of La Salette in Attleboro. Even though your back was injured, Nicole, and Michael needed to push you around the shrine in a wheelchair, and even though there was a huge snowstorm on its way, you went down to this great sanctuary of Our Lady for Mass and for the Festival of Lights. After Mass, in which the priest preached about peace and how to find it in the Lord Jesus, Michael asked you what your favorite part of the park was. And out of all places, you chose the highest place for him to push you up, next to that illuminated sign saying peace on earth, and proposed to you as snowflakes were falling from heaven above. Today, God is going to send down from heaven far more than snowflakes. He's going to send an abundance of grace through the outstretched prayerful hands of Mary. Open yourself up to receive those graces all the days of your married life. There's one last thing I want to say. I'm very happy to be here for the first time in St. Francis of Assisi Church, because when I saw this incredibly beautiful baldacchino, I said it had to work its way into the homily. There's great meaning to the fact that you are getting married in a nuptial mass. The early Christians used to illustrate the reality between marriage and Christ's marriage through putting altars underneath baldacchinos or canopies like the one here. Why? Because just as a canopy used to cover a bed in the ancient world to keep the heat in, so the early Christians wanted us to see the altar and see that it was covered with a canopy, meant to be a sign that the altar is a marriage bed of the union between Christ and His bride, the Church. What happens on a marriage bed? The bride takes within herself the body of her bridegroom. They become one flesh and are meant incapacitated to bear fruit, to make love, to let that love overflow. The great means for you to continue to grow in love and to learn how to love each other as Christ has loved you first is to come hand in hand as often as you can, just like you are holding hands today, to this altar, to this marriage bed, where Christ will fill you with His love and make you possible of letting that love reign between you. Today, around this marriage bed of the Church, your cousin, Father Paul Morad, and I, Tony and Christina, all your family and friends join you in praying that the Lord, who has begun this good work in you and brought you together to this altar, will continue to bless you always with His holy love, and through that love that you share for each other, continue to bless us all. We finish with the words Pope Benedict finished his homily with back on that fateful day, April 20th, 2008, the day, without knowing it, that you began your pilgrimage together, speaking about our faith in the Lord Jesus, the bridegroom of the Church, who comes to fill us with His love here at Mass. The Holy Father said, "Happy, blessed are you who believe. Let us turn to Jesus," he went on. "He alone is the way that leads to eternal happiness, the truth who satisfies the deepest longings of every heart, and the life who brings ever new joy and hope to us and to the world. Let us turn with gratitude and faith to Jesus, who now turns with love toward you, to unite you for the rest of your life in one flesh in preparation for heaven. Praise be Jesus Christ."